Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Hope Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a minute, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Hope Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled Prayer and Fasting, and is part of a series that's entitled Closer. Everyone needs to be closer to God. The Bible encourages us to draw closer to God, and He will draw closer to you and I. Two ways we draw closer to God is through prayer and fasting. In this message, I want to encourage you to disconnect from this fallen world and draw closer to God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
James chapter 4, Matthew chapter 17. And we're gonna close the year out by starting a new series. It's going to extend a little bit into the first of the year, but I want to start out the new year by this new series, and this is simply entitled Closer. Listen, we all need to be closer to God. Amen. Every one of us. I don't think there's any person in here that can say, well, I'm so close to God that I don't need to be any closer. If I was any closer, I'd be Jesus. I don't think anybody could say that. So we all need to be closer to Him. But here is the spiritual reality. Here is the fact of the matter. We are as close to God as we want to be. We're as close to God as we want to be. If you're born again, you determine how close you are to God. See, God wants to be close. I mean, He's already made that clear, correct? The Holy Spirit lives in us. You can say, well, how can you get any closer? You can get closer, amen? You can get close. Listen, the Holy Spirit can be in you, but He can be a million miles from you in a sense. It's really not Him, it's you. So we all need to be closer to God, but we're as close to God as we want to be. If we want to be closer, the Bible tells us how to correct that. It's in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you want to hear another version, come close to God, and He will come close to you. I think it's pretty simple, isn't it? We need to make the appropriate steps towards God, draw close to Him, and He will draw close to us then. It's a response. In this series, I want to challenge you, draw closer to God. If we're going to accomplish all that God has planned for us, I believe He has plans for us individually. He has plans for us as a church. In this coming year, it's going to be pivotal that we position ourselves closer to God. Closer to God in order to fulfill His plans for our lives. And this morning, I want to talk to you about two spiritual disciplines which help bring us closer to God, and it's prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Have you ever felt like something was missing in your prayer life? You ever had a time where you felt like you didn't have a breakthrough and something was wrong, something was hindering, something was just missing? There was a disconnect between you and God. There were some ingredients missing. I don't know how you want to describe it, but just something wasn't right. And the result of it was this, that your prayers went unanswered, unfulfilled. There was just something missing. You ever been there before? I think it happens quite often. Jesus addresses this very issue in Matthew chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to Him, saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Verse number 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Of course, we know what happens. He heals the young boy. He rebukes the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, what we forget is this, that Jesus had sent His disciples out already. He had sent them out, and He'd given them authority. And He gave them authority specifically over demons, and He gave them authority to heal the sick and to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. So that was in earlier chapters. They've already been sent out. And here they encounter a man who brings his son to them, and they're unable to heal him. In a sense, remember, they have no power themselves to heal. The healing is in Christ. So the only way they can provide healing is through Jesus, so they've got to pray. They've got to ask in his name. That's whose authority they've been given. So listen, their prayers went unanswered. Are you following me? They prayed specifically. Now, it was the will of Jesus, obviously, to heal this person. We see that taking place here. He obviously had given them the authority to heal the sick. Why wasn't this young boy healed? Why did he not experience healing when everything was in the correct line of thought or in the correct path? I don't know how you want to say it. It offers us a dilemma, and it's the same dilemma we face here this morning. If we pray and our prayers go unanswered, they're unfulfilled, something's missing, it's the same in essence as we're reading right here in this story. I highlighted two words in verse 17. Faithless and perverse. Faithless and perverse. Now, most of us would be offended if Jesus called us faithless or perverse. May I remind you, he is not talking about the man. He is not talking about the boy. He is talking to the disciples. And we'll see that later on in this verse. He calls his disciples, whom he sent out, faithless and perverse. Now, if I'm not Jesus, and I'm not saying that, but if I called some of you all faithless and perverse, you would run out of here. In fact, if anyone called you faithless or perverse, I believe even Jesus himself, you may be slightly offended by that. But his words should not offend us. His words should actually encourage us. And I want to include myself in this group. You're not alone. I myself have been faithless and perverse. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Most of us, again, would be challenged by it and say, not me, Pastor. But I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever laid hands on the sick and they not recovered? Have you ever prayed for something and it not occurred? And you knew it was God's will. It was God's plan, God's purpose. But something was missing. Have you ever felt like God is a million miles away? Where is God in this? Where is God in this situation? Where is he at? I know he's in here somewhere, but why isn't he here? So I would say this, that we need to look at those two words very closely this morning. Faithless and perverse. Faithless, another way to say it, another way it's translated in some versions of the Bible, is unbelieving. Both are correct. Both are saying the same thing. Both translations are accurate, portraying the same truth. And the fact of the matter is this. Faithless means this, you're just distant from God. You've become like an unbeliever. Are you following me? Both translations are good, but it's describing a distancing. Remember, Jesus sent out the disciples. They were away from him, correct? And when they come back and they're unable to heal this young man, he says to them, you're faithless and perverse. If you're an unbeliever, are you close to God? Obviously, you're not. And so sometimes we might be offended then by, and we may say, well, he's not talking to us, but he's talking to his disciples. How can you get any closer at that time than that? The answer is you can't. Those are those who are most closest to him at that time. And he's saying, listen, you're acting like unbelievers. Your behavior is like unbelievers. The outcome of this prayer shows that you're like an unbeliever. You've distanced yourself from me. And God's word is not always palatable to our liking. Are you following me? There are times when I read his word that I don't like it in my flesh. I don't always understand it. And there are just sometimes I just don't like it. I don't like how it challenges me. But the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, amen? And what it does, it pierces, it penetrates our inner being. And it separates, it dissects, it says, hey, this is what belongs to the flesh, and this is what belongs to the spirit. Now, you make a good decision. I'll empower you, I encourage you, but you've got to choose. That's exactly what God's word does. In fact, if God's word always agrees with you, you're probably reading the wrong Bible. You know what I'm saying? What Jesus was saying to his disciples is, the reason you couldn't heal this man is because you're distant from me, you're disconnected from me. You're not close enough to me. What causes unbelief in believers? When we listen to the world, when we listen to people, and when we don't listen to God's word. Let me ask you this. Does faith come by social media? Does faith come by Fox News? Does faith come by listening to your heart? You really want to get in trouble? Faith comes by hearing God's word, period. Faith comes by hearing God's word, hearing what God's word is speaking to us. Church, we have to remember that we are not citizens of this world. We're just passing through. And when we listen to this world, when we listen to this culture, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, if you are simply drinking from the world, you're going to be discouraged. Perverse. Let's look at that word perverse. Listen, some of you don't maybe know, we're not talking about a peeping Tom here. All right? Jesus is not saying, you all act like a bunch of peeping Toms. We need to read that word perverse in its context, how Jesus is using it with his frame of mind, not our frame of mind. Perversion is simply, when you look up the dictionary, is a distortion or a corruption of what was first intended. That's the kind of perversion we're talking about. Again, not some weirdo. The further we are from God and the things of God and the closer we are to this world, that's a perversion. It's a perversion. And you listen, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to everyone in here what you are closer to. What is the thing that you are nearest to? It's not my job to come to you and say, hey, Pastor Kevin, you are too close to this, or you are too close to that. It's the Holy Spirit. And listen, if we'll listen to what the Spirit of God, if we'll ask him with a sincere heart, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm closer to, he'll show you what you're closer to. Now, you may not always like what he's going to reveal, but he will reveal truth to you. And he will bring conviction. And conviction, by the way, is a good thing, not condemnation. Condemnation says this: you've done bad, you'll never be right, you're always going to be wrong, you're worthless, you're pathetic, you're this, you're that. Conviction says this: Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, we need to correct this. We need to correct this, and we can. You can. That's the way conviction and that's the way condemnation works. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes we'll confuse the two if this is not right and if this is not right. Because God will bring conviction. We'll say, well, that's condemnation. No, that could be the Holy Spirit. It's just your head and your heart aren't in the right place to receive it. So we have to be very careful. Conviction at the end of the day says, this can be overcome. You can make it. We can fix this. But condemnation says this: you can't. You're worthless. You're too far gone. So welcome conviction, amen? Jesus gives us the reason why the disciples their prayers went unanswered, but thanks be to God, he gives us the answer later on in the story. Let's look down at verse 19, same chapter, Matthew chapter 17. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? You know why they came to him privately? He just called them faithless and perverse. They kind of had their tails between their legs. I mean, they just got rebuked. And they're like, hey, can we talk on the side here? I mean, you just called me faithless and perverse. So kind of want to, you know, the multitudes are like, let's just talk about this. You ever had that happen to you? I have. I've been to the woodshed a number of times. He says to them, and this is how you know, again, they were embarrassed by this. And if you just read verse 20, you know he's not talking to the man. He's not talking to the boy. He's not talking to the crowds. He's talking to his disciples whose prayers went unanswered. Verse 20 shows us, right? So Jesus said to them, to his disciples, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We stop, say, glory, hallelujah, there it is. If I just have faith the size of a mustard seed. Hey, goofball, you stop right there. Keep on going. Correct? Because verse 21 says, I'm sorry if I said goofball. However, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. Notice there's two things that cause the problem, and he gives you two things that correct the problem. See, unbelief disconnects us from God. Fasting and prayer are the solutions to unbelief and perversion. Unbelief disconnects us from God. Prayer brings us closer to God. Obviously, prayer is what? Talking to God. When you have a conversation with him, when you're speaking with him, when you're communing with him, you bring yourself closer to him. The more time we spend in prayer, the closer we become to God. And therefore, the more connected we are to him and his promises and his power. See, we don't take the time as we should to draw close to God, because we already assume, since he's already here, hey, why do I need to draw any closer than that? And that's where we make our mistake. And this is exactly the illustration he's trying to show us. Listen, you went out from among me, you did ministry in my name, you did great things, and that's wonderful, but you got to come back and get close to me, because what happens is this: you've been out in the world. You've been listening to every Tear Into Beer story song. You've been listening to everything else. Now you need to come back, be closer to me, listen to me, get close to me so you can do what I've called you to do. It's a pattern we'll see throughout Scripture. Prayer brings us closer to God. The more time you spend with God in prayer, the more confident you become. If you go through a season where you're prayerless, you can feel like, where is he at? Where is God? I'm so far from God, I can't even cry out to him. But when you draw closer to him, he draws closer to you. And you realize in that moment, you know what? What was wrong with me? Why didn't I just get myself back into a position where I'm talking to God and he's talking to me? See, it makes you more confident. If you spend time with your husband or your wife and you talk to them, you're more confident with each other. I mean, communication is the key to a relationship. Listen, what happens in the sack will wear out. All right? But I'm telling you, you're going to have to still look at each other, and you can only watch TV so much before you drive yourself crazy. So at the end of the day, a successful marriage is always going to be based on communication. Was I just too raw with what I just said? Okay. It's true, though, right? After the flame burns out, you're going to have to talk to each other. The disciples have been away from Jesus doing ministry. He asked that they're doing what he asked them to do, but they were just simply away from him. Now he's saying, hey, listen, you need to reconnect. The world disconnects us from God, but prayer brings us closer to God. Prayer is not about being able to check it off of a list. If we approach prayer this way, well, I did my devotions, check. I did my scripture reading for today, check. I've done my prayer time, check. Well, we've missed it. We've seriously missed it because prayer cannot be a spiritual checkoff. Prayer is intentionally putting ourselves in a position where we talk to God. He talks to us. We spend time with him. The essence of prayer is spending time with God. And the more time you spend with God, the more confident you become of God and what he can do. And you're refreshed and you're renewed. And I want to encourage every person in here listening to me, get in a prayer closet and seek God's face. It'll do you some good. Trust me. It's not religious. It's not empty. It's not vain. It's living. There's something powerful about it. Get yourself in a position and talk to God. Faith is action based on belief, sustained by what? Confidence. See, confidence is so important to that equation of faith. And I don't know that that's the exact equation of faith, but it's a pretty good one. Because faith is more than just believing. Faith has to have action. But you won't take that action and you won't believe unless you are confident. God calls you to do something, you won't step out unless you're confident. Are you following me? When you're confident with God, your faith is stronger than your unbelief. See, we're going to deal with unbelief. Every one of us are going to deal with doubt and unbelief from time to time. Why? We live in a fallen world and it drains you and it will suck you dry. But what we have to do is remember that our faith must be stronger than our unbelief. Every one of us need to improve on our closeness to God. And the reason I can say that, I don't see you out there walking on water and doing miracles. So we all, myself included, I pray that this is not just me spouting off to you. I pray that I'm encouraging you to let's take God serious. We have another day, and I know starting out a new year is a good time. It's just like it's a good place to start from, but it's really unnecessary. His mercies are new every day. But let's just use the calendar as an example. Let's start over now. You ever played a game and say, okay, I messed up, but now, we start now. Have you ever done that before? You've started the game like 4 or 5 times because that's when you win. Let's do it now. Let's do this now. Prayer brings you closer to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Fasting disconnects us from the world. I think in the body of Christ, we have a better grasp on prayer, but we don't have a really good grasp on fasting. And I want to say this, fasting is not about suffering. In fact, if you think that's all it's about, you are wrong. It is, but Pastor, I suffer, but it's not about suffering. Sometimes you're like me, you just eat too much and you love food. I love food, I hate fasting. I'm not gonna lie to you. You think I really wake up and say, I'm gonna fast today and I love it. That's kooky talk. I like cheeseburgers. And I like lots of them. And I like cake. And I like cookies. I'm with you. But fasting disconnects us from the world. And I'm going to show you why it does that. And listen, whenever we involve ourselves into things of this world, and it doesn't matter for crying out loud if it's G-rated. It doesn't matter. You live in a fallen world, church. And the things of this world, PG, G-rated, it don't matter. It's going to influence you. Have you ever watched certain shows that are G-rated, and you go back and you're like, I didn't see that before. And there's a subtle message in that show. I'm not saying you have to turn off every show. You have to live like a hermit. Listen, I watched Alabama last night. There you go. There's nothing wrong with football. But can I tell you this? The commercials, some of the things you'll see will drain you. They will work against you. They're not promoting God's kingdom. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you turn off the TV and because you can't watch TV now. That's not what I'm saying. But if what you're doing is this, you're connecting more to the world, you're going to distance yourself automatically from God. See, life is all about balance. Life is all about balance. Put God first. Not at the end of the equation. Put Him first. There's a simple principle throughout God's word. In your job, in your time, in your effort, whatever it is, put Him first. Put Him first. Adam and Eve lost their dominion. You know why they lost their dominion? Because they fed their appetites. See, every one of us have appetites. Some of you have an appetite for food. I have an appetite for food right now. Just talking about it is making me hungry. But see, we all have different appetites. There might be another part of the day I have a different appetite. See, we all have appetites, and if we feed them, it gives us less dominion in this world. Less dominion in this world. Adam and Eve didn't eat the forbidden fruit because they were hungry. That wasn't their appetite. Their appetite was this. They wanted to be like God. That was their appetite. See, we feed our appetites. And what fasting does, it helps us disconnect from those appetites. During the Christmas Christmas New Year break, probably 2012, I went on a 3-day fast, and it was a full fast. I just drank water, and I remember spending that 3 days, and I had the blessing to where the church we were at, we had a school, daycare and all that, but we had a break, so with that break, the church was virtually empty over Christmas break, and I had my own facility, so I could go in there, close the doors, turn on the worship music. No one would bother me. No one would interrupt me. Spent 3 days fasting and praying, journaling, right, reading God's word. Day 3, I remember this very vividly. To this day, I still remember it. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, we had about 100 kids or 100 chairs in our sanctuary, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you need to go pray over those chairs, because by that time, I knew that God was leading me to pastor. At that time, it was time for me to transition out from being a staff person. And He said, go and pray over those chairs as if you were praying for the church I'm going to give you. And as I began to pray, I felt like the natural just parted, and I got to see. And what I saw, I didn't like, because God showed me a smaller church. And I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not doing that. No. No, I've never been in a small church in my life. I'm not going to a small church. But He said, just listen, pray over those chairs. And I would get to a chair, and it wasn't like I would see anyone's face, but I would see a figure, and I would just begin to pray. And I felt like sometimes I'm praying for a person who had needed healing in their body. Sometimes it was just encouragement. And it felt like they were listening to a message, and I was just coming beside them, and I was just lifting them up in prayer. And I remember when we came here, we visited, and I walked in, and I saw the church. I said, this is not it, God. This is not the one you showed me. I was just in complete denial. I did not want to see. My appetite was something different. But when I fasted, God showed me what I needed to do. And I fought it. I'm not going to lie to you. I fought it. And I made every excuse possible. But I knew what God showed me. And I knew what He had revealed to me. And I knew it was right. But even afterwards, for over a year, I struggled with it. Because I didn't want it, but that's what God wanted. See, when we fast and we disconnect ourselves from the world, things become more clear to us. We are so dependent, and I'm going to tell you this, and some of you aren't going to like this, but I'm going to challenge you. Fasting involves a lack of food. Period. Well, Pastor, my health. Hey, listen, do you think they were always healthy in the Bible? Well, Pastor, I'm too busy, my job. Do you think they weren't hardworking in the Bible? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have it, they had it easier than we do? Fasting, listen, it's not about suffering, but if you fast, it's going to be a challenge to you. You know why? Because we're used to feeding our appetites. We're used to giving our bodies, our soul, what it wants. But when we disconnect, my stomach is growling right now. I mean, if you could hear it, it went, rawr. It is like, no, no. What happens is it disconnects us from the world. Fasting does it because it puts our attention back onto God. Because I'll tell you, day one without coffee, yeah, I'm a miserable person to be around. I shouldn't be out in public on that day. I'm just telling you right now, that's not a good marriage. I mean, I've had times where I fasted and I'm hooked on caffeine. I'm not going to lie to you. I've fed my appetite well today already. But that day one, at the end of the day when that headache shows up, and I'm like, whoa, all I can do is just take some Excedrin, drink some water, and go to bed. But you know what? The next day I'm better, and I can focus. And I just have to get through day one, and then I do a whole lot better. The Holy Spirit throughout, and the reason why I shared that vision with you going back is for this reason. When I was preparing for this message, he reminded me of that praying and fasting, that before I got here, I prayed and I fasted. I sought God's face. And that wasn't the only time I prayed and fasted during that time, but I remember that one specifically. And when I was reminded of that, I felt like as I was preparing for this message, God said, this church has went through a time and a season. It's gotten stable now, but it's not supposed to remain at this destination. This is not the destination, I should say. This may be a phase, but it's not the destination for Holt Assembly of God. The next phase is going to take some people fasting and praying. There are churches right now, and listen, I'm not trying to build a mega church. I'm just trying to build what God has shown me to build here. That's all I'm trying to do. That's up to you. That's up to him. But my job is to position ourselves that we go from this part, this phase, on to the next. But I will tell you this, it's going to take people praying and fasting. And that doesn't mean just the pastor. That doesn't mean just the staff. That doesn't mean just the deacons. It means us involving ourselves in prayer and fasting. I can't tell you of how many churches I know, how many pastors I personally know that they are not very good preachers. And I'm not saying I'm the best, but I know I can preach better than them. And their church is exploding. Their churches are doing great things. You know why? Because at the heart of it, they are humble, and they've led their church to pray and fast, and I've failed to do that, and that's on me. And that's my apology. But I'm telling you, in this next phase, we are going to fast, and we are going to pray. It has to become a part of our culture. Why? Because it brings us closer to God, and it disconnects us from the world. And listen, anytime you draw closer to God, it's good. And anytime you disconnect from the world, it's a good thing. So why in the world would we want to do it? It just comes down to this, because we don't want to. Or we say, that's out of date, that's antiquated, that's not necessary, that's not needed. But that's not what God's word says. Our church is a family-style church. When you come here, it feels kind of like family. And you may be visiting, and you may not get that full sense yet, but the more you come, the more closer you get, you'll find out it's like family. That's a good quality, by the way. But that shouldn't be the only quality. Because the world doesn't just need fellowship. And it just doesn't need friends. It needs the power of God. And it needs the power of God active through its members, through its church. Amen? Not just from the pulpit, not just from our time in the altar. The power of God needs to permeate our beings in our community. And that will come by prayer and fasting. Is fasting part of God's plan for his church? 100%, absolutely, I'm going to show you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Verse 15, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Five words. And then they will fast. Not when they feel like it, they will fast. Jesus is saying, when I'm gone, they're going to fast. When I'm gone, 2,000 years have passed, church. Some of you have never fasted yet. Why? Why? So I want to encourage you to get into God's Word, study it, let it challenge you. You don't let your religion or your tradition corrupt God's Word. Listen to what God's Word says and what it challenges us to do. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, who you are. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be any type of leadership. You just have to be a child of God, close to God. Skip forward a number of years in the book of Acts. Church has been well established. They're empowered. They're released. They're preaching the gospel. We come along to Acts chapter 13. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Did you know this? That in the church of Antioch when this took place, Paul is Saul. He's in the church with Barnabas. How would you like to have those guys as members in your church? And then you guys come together, the church fasts, the church gets together, they fast, and the Lord says, you need to send those two boys out. That church was blessed, I'm sure, because they sent out Paul on his first of four missionary journeys. Why did they send out Paul? Because they fasted and they prayed and they disconnected themselves from the world. They got themselves close to God. They could hear the Spirit of God speaking and they were obedient and they sent them out. And look what happens. We're here because of that ministry directly. Fasting connected the church to the heart of God and the plans of God. Verse 13, listen, this is the next verse. Look at this. They've already fasted, right? Verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they fasted and prayed, got the answer. They fasted and prayed more. You say, well, why would you stop? Why didn't you just send them out? Because it shows this. There was a culture of bathing situations in prayer and fasting. We don't have that culture. We don't have that culture at Holt Assembly of God, and we don't have that culture, for the most part, throughout the Church of America. I would say this, more so in church, in areas where they really need the power of God. Because we don't really need the power of God, because we do all by good, we do well by ourselves. And I'm saying that in a snotty way. See, we don't need God's power. We really don't, but we do. It needs to be a culture in our church. How often do you bathe a situation in prayer? Or do you just do this, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to bless me. I'm going to go through this. Doors busted wide open. I just need you to come along and help me through this. See, that's the way we kind of handle prayer sometimes. We just act and hope he's with us. But see, did you take time and put yourself in a position to get close to God and to hear from him? And did you get his leading? And then once you got his leading, did you have peace? And did you fast and pray? Did you pray at least until you had that release? See, we often circumvent God's plans when we're just simply just too anxious, or we've put God into a time crunch where he has to. See, that doesn't work, church. God operates outside of our understanding of time. And sometimes we try to put him in the box, say, all right, God, bless me, now move. He'll say, hey, you should have been praying a long time ago. Let's continue to look at the church and did it fast. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and dark nakedness. What's he saying to the Corinthians? He's saying this, listen, this was what happened in my ministry. He's recalling a time of his journey. This is what's taking place. And fasting often. Fasting, not just once a year. Fasting often, a spiritual discipline. Fast forward 2,000 years. Again, suddenly we are too busy to fast. Too busy, too educated, too whatever, too sick, working too hard. But listen, I would venture to say a much harder life than what we live today. I guess they were just younger and healthier, right? See, we need to admit we got a closeness problem. We're not as close to God as we like, most of us. And why would you ever be satisfied with that? Why not do something that will allow you to draw closer to God? We're too close to the world, and we're not close enough to God. That doesn't make you unsaved. That doesn't make you a bad person. But it's just the reality. Why don't we fast? We're triune beings. God's created us. We are created in the likeness and image of God. I'm going to show you why don't we fast. This is why we don't fast. We have a triune nature, body, soul, spirit. See, a tree has one nature. It has a body. It doesn't have a soul. I know the tree hugger said it does. Oh, can you feel that tree just oozing out? No, it doesn't. I'm sorry, you smoked too much. You know, all I'm saying is this. I'm feeling ornery today. I don't know why. Listen, animals have a body. They don't have a spirit. They have a soul, but they don't have a spirit. All right, now listen. Pastor, does that mean my dog's not going to heaven? I don't know, okay? I know cats aren't going, but don't write me any letters. I'm not a cat person. All seriousness, we're a three-part being, body, soul, spirit. And that plays into our connective problem. Here's what I'm going to show you. Sometimes our body connects us to ourselves. Our body connects us to ourselves. What I mean is this. Our body is affected by worldly things, and then it causes a reaction. So you can say, well, our soul. No, just hang with me for a second. Our body is connected to ourselves. It connects us to this world. It connects us to the things of this world. That's why it's important to fast, especially food, because it will disconnect you from your body, so to speak. Are you following me? Because your body should not be in charge. If you allow your body to be in charge, you are going to be, hey, listen, time to party, time to smoke, time to drink, time to do whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do. I'm just telling you, if you allow your body to run wild, that's what's going to happen. If you weaken your body and you make it, if you make it submit, because this is part of the Christian life, is bring yourself into submission to God's word and God's will. Paul said, I beat my body into submission, right? Now, I don't think he necessarily went and did that physically, but we understand that he has to bring this part of his being into submission to God's word. Sometimes we run our mouths too much. We need to fast. Because instead of saying words, we'll say, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. We'll replace it real quick when we fast. See, it puts our body into a position where it has to submit. The soul connects us to others. Emotions. Boy, we connect to each other emotionally. Emotions, I'll give you an example. When Jenny and I got saved, we spent every day together. We're dating. Young dating Christians should not spend every day with each other and have time alone. No one had to tell us this. We just figured it out that this probably wasn't a good idea. And so, you know what we did? We fasted our relationship. I saw her on Sunday at church. And I saw her at Wednesday at church. We went out on dates on Friday and Saturdays, and often that involved a church activity. Why was that? Because we knew we couldn't be in the right place at the wrong time. See, we had to fast that emotion. And so all I'm just trying to say is this, that we need to, when we have an area that is affecting our body, you need to fast. If you have an area that's corrupting your soul, you need to fast. You need to break that power. Fasting, often you go through a fast and it breaks the power of the enemy. It just does. I can't tell you how many times, this is why I like this book on Dave Williams. I believe Dave is now retired, but he talks about it either in this book or in another book. He began to pray and fast, pray and fast, pray and fast continually. And the church just exploded. It went from like hardly nothing to 900. And then it went up to 4,000 or 5,000. You know, because of, he always attributes it to this. It wasn't that he was more gifted, he was more talented, he was just more anointed. Because he had separated, he'd taken the time to separate himself from the world and connect himself to God. Fasting and prayer will do that. Our souls need to be disconnected. Our bodies need to be disconnected from this world. And then our spirit man needs to be in the dominant place because it's born again. The spirit connects us to God. And see, when one of these, in every person in here, one of these three currently are more dominant in you. Every person in here. And there'll be a season where one is more dominant than the other. And can I tell you, anytime the body or the soul jumps up to the front, you're going to have problems. And you're going to have distance in your relationship with God. That's why the spirit has to be brought back to the forefront. There are times where you have to bring this body into submission. Fasting provides that. Fasting brings the body back into position, submission back into proper alignment. Look at this, Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Indeed, if the spirit of God dwells in you, look at a different translation. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the spirit if you have the spirit of God living in you. It shows us that we should be living under submission of our spirit man, who is connected then to God. When you're controlled by your spirit under the submission of the Holy Spirit, then you can walk in the Spirit. You can live a life pleasing to the Spirit of God. But if your life is controlled by the flesh, you're going to have trouble. A life controlled by the Spirit is a life that weakens the control of the body and the soul. This is why we need to fast and fast often. Listen, you may not need to fast four days out of seven. You may just need to, sometimes it is just a matter of practicing fasting in this way. Maybe you go through a week where you fast a day, or you fast a partial part of the day. Whatever it is, just bring it into a practice, a spiritual discipline. If you can read God's word, that's great. If you can pray, that's great. But why can't you fast? Why can't we fast? Fast often. I know it's not popular, but it's something we need to practice. Why do I need to fast? It brings you closer to God, and we all need to be closer to God. Beginning next Sunday, we're starting a week long of fasting. I really toyed with 21 days. And maybe that's something you can decide on your own. But I'm at least going to give you 7 days and say, listen, I'm going to challenge you. Take 7 days to fast. Do it. How, I'm going to give you some instruction how you can fast. But you need to decide how you need to fast. Listen, can I say this? Fasting is not giving up chocolate. That's not fasting. If you've been taught that, that's not fasting. Or I'm not going to watch TV for 2 hours. That's not fasting. I'm sorry, it's not. Now, you may be like to watch a lot of TV, and it's hard, but it needs to go a little deeper than that. So here's what you need to do. Before you fast, I'm just going to give you these three quick things. Number one, set an objective. Set an objective. Declare your dependence upon God. Ask for forgiveness, repentance. Refocus on the eternal. Again, get an eternal perspective. Say, this is what I'm going to do. This is my objective. I want to be released from the power of unforgiveness, maybe. Maybe that year, like, I need to, my objective is to be more dependent upon God, which is a good thing, by the way. It might be in the area of repentance. Again, focusing on eternal perspective, having that. Invite the Lord's presence. I want to get closer to God. That's my objective. Believe God's for specific needs might be your objective. Whatever it is, have an objective. Set it. Number two, what kind of fast are you going to employ? A Daniel fast? A juice fast? A water fast? A partial fast? I mean, they're those materials that are out there, I don't give them out there because they're pretty. They're tools. Pick them up. Use them. And listen, if you don't want that, just get on the internet. My goodness, there's tons of things out there. There's some kooky stuff, but there's some good stuff. Number three, expect results. You should always expect a result from a fast. In fact, I would say this. If you don't have results, or at least a peace or a direction, you probably should keep on fasting then. And just be led by the Lord. So look what Isaiah chapter 58. It's a chapter about fasting. I want to just focus on verses 8 and 9. Look, this is what he says after you fast, or when you fast. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. And your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, verse 9, you will call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Listen, when you fast, you should be rejuvenated. Secondly, expect the healing. Expect healing. Expect rejuvenation. Expect a renewed righteousness. A sense of this, that I've fasted. I'm putting down the power of my flesh. I'm dedicating myself unto God. And there's been a reset that has taken place. My righteousness, my right standing, now gives me the ability to live right. Fourth, God is going to have your back. He's going to be your defender. You'll have that confidence renewed within you. Expect that. Expect a renewed confidence. Last, we should expect that we should hear from God better, clearer. The clarity of his relationship, his revelation should improve. Listen, God is calling us as a church to be closer to him. I have no doubt about that. I'm 100% confident that God's calling us to draw closer to him. The key is this: are we going to draw closer to him? And are we actually going to look at God's word and use it as a template, so to speak, to draw closer? Are we just going to keep on doing our good ideas? And how have they worked so far? There's good ideas and there's God ideas. We go to God's word, we know there are God ideas. And that's what I would suggest that we do. We live our lives by according to God's word. Some situations, you're going to need to pray, and you're going to need a breakthrough. I'd encourage you to fast. Remember, Jesus said this: certain things happen by prayer and fasting. He said the early church would fast. Are we fasting? I'm calling you as a church to get yourself involved in a fast in some way. Again, look at ways to fast and just get involved during that week. I need to close there.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.